Well, as I was sharing, this message title, we're entitling it Dominant Faith. And, you know, just what I decided to do was to just look up, you know, we all know what it means to be dominant, but and to have dominion. But I just thought, let me just look this up in the dictionary and let's just see what this has to say. Well, dominion means to have sovereignty, or it means to have supreme authority. Now, a synonym of dominion is to have power. So when you have dominion, you have power, and this is a synonym, or authority, or jurisdiction, or control, or command. So the word power means implies possession of an ability to wield a force or authority or influence. Authority is delegated power. Now, to be dominant, it means overlooking or commanding from a superior position. So when you have dominion or you are dominant, that means you have a place that's above and in a commanding superior position. You're prevailing over all others. So what does all of that mean? We'll unpack this a little bit as we go, but let's start with 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you became a brand new person in Christ, as the scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means you're a brand new person. You're not just somebody made over, you know, like they do with furniture or something or a house. No, brand new. It's the New Living says it means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. I've become a brand new person, somebody that didn't exist before. Brand new. My past is gone. I've got a brand new slate. This goes on to say in the King James, and all things are of God who hath what? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, or it just means they're not holding their trespasses unto them or against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we just read that because we've become a brand new person. Where? In Christ, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So now that I've become a brand new person, I have a brand new position. I've become a brand new person. I have a brand new position in Christ. Now, yes, we all have different assignments or different paths in life, different assignments, but I have a new position. Just turn over with me for a moment. Kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, but just look at Colossians chapter 1 and a familiar verse in verse 13. Well, actually, you could back up. Let's look at verse 12, 13, and 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or you could say able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath what? Delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in Christ, we have, not going to get it, we have what? Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we've become the righteousness of God in Christ. We've got now a new place or a new position. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. He has no darkness, sin, you know, those kinds of things that made us do what we did that was influenced by the devil. That power has been broken in our lives. And we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we have a new place, a new position in Christ. And Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we've all received, Romans 12:3, it says we've all received a measure of the God kind of faith. And this faith, it says, for by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. So you couldn't get saved without faith. And faith is what pleases God. And faith is what got you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it is the gift of God. So this new position, let's back up to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking a little bit at chapter 2 and the end of chapter 1 of Ephesians. But this new position in Christ has been conferred upon us. It's been given to us. And starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, and I like to stop here because in the King James, the word hath he quickened is italicized, which means that was not in the original translation. The translators put that in to add clarity. Because originally it just said, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. But they added, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he hath quickened us. He made us alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or, you know, the way we conducted ourselves in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who what? Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now look at verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, so when you were dead in your sins, you were buried with him. You know, the scripture says we were buried with him in baptism, and his burial and our baptism was like the burial of us going into water and coming up, being raised to new life. But this is saying here, even when we were dead in our sins, Christ did what? He loved us. He saved us. He quickened us to get, it says he quickened us together with who? Christ. So His resurrection from the dead was what? Our resurrection from the dead. And this gives us here, this shows us that we have a new position above, not seated beneath, but we're above, seated with authority, conferred authority with Christ. Now, we're not physically there, but our place, the head, is there. And he said here, he's raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now, let's back up and look at the extent. So we've had this authority conferred upon us. We've been seated with him in heavenly places. Now I'm going to stop and say this. If you don't understand that, if you don't embrace that or receive that by faith, you'll walk through this life. What does the scripture say? We are to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, if the devil can keep you in this natural realm and keep you looking at circumstances, you forget who you are. You forget that you're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ, and that authority has been conferred. You, the extent of this authority, let's take a look starting in verse 17 of chapter 1. The extent of this authority. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. And he continues, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that what? You may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of what? Of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to what? To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Well, let me ask the question. It says here, this mighty power which he wrought in Christ, we just got done reading in chapter 2, it says, this says here, when he raised him from the dead. Well, verse 6 of chapter 2 says, and hath raised us up together. So really, when this mighty power, it raised him up, but it raised us up together with him. And it says, and set him at his own right hand. Well, we are set with him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at verse 21. This is the extent of this authority that he has that's been conferred upon us. What does verse 21 say? Far above, say far above what? All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And what is verse 22? And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, to who? To the church. Now let me read this. This is in the New Living Translation. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. He didn't go to hell for his benefit. He went to hell for the benefit of the world. And when he was raised from the dead, it says, we were raised with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. And this place of authority extends over what? Far above all principality and all power and what? And might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Well, if all things are under his feet, we're connected to him. So that means when we face opposition in life, you need to say, no, I'm not going to tolerate that. You need to understand that you are not the one that's being dominated. You're the one that's supposed to dominate in Christ through faith. Faith in what? Faith in his name. Faith in the blood. Faith in the word. Amen. It doesn't say that this is going to be easy. Your flesh and your senses are going to say, this is not possible. It doesn't look like it's going to work. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 4 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 4 through 5. When you get there, say amen. So what does this say here? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, this is the dominion and the authority we've been given. We're to pull down strongholds. And it says what? Casting down imaginations, and my margin says reasonings. So when your mind begins to reason and say, this is not possible, you're to do what? Cast it down. This says here, casting down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Now let's just stop and think about this. When it says here that we're to do what? We're to cast down imaginations or reasonings, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, think about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we say here that we're to bring everything into what? It says, cast it down, things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You could say against the knowledge of the Word. And then what else does it say? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Word of God. Now, we're not talking about something the Holy Spirit may lead you to do. You know, he may lead you. That may come through your heart or may come up in your mind. You don't cast those things down. But if it comes against the Word of God, we are to cast it down. If you get a thought, you'll never be healed of this. If the Word of God says, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, it's already done. Who his own self bore my sin in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. If something says you're not, you need to cast that reasoning down And here's where I'm going with this. It doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor and get yourself checked out or do whatever you need to do, but you cast down the thoughts that say, you'll never get this. You'll never have this. You'll have to live with this. No, no. Or as they say, nay, nay. Nay, nay, nay here. Right? We are the healed. We are the victorious. So, we need to be very mindful of what we set our thinking on, what our thoughts are set on. There was something I wrote down. You know, sometimes I see things that I didn't know, things that maybe Brother Hagin said when he was alive. And he said this when he was alive, thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words will lead the heart out of defeat and into victory. Thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words will lead the heart out of defeat and into victory. So it's not just enough to think faith thoughts. You've got to speak it. You've got to speak faith words. What does that mean? That means that when I see something and it's something that's been given to me in my covenant, I'm going to believe that and speak it by faith and claim it for me. Now, it may take time, it may not take time, but I'm going to speak faith words until I receive it in the natural. And if you get opposition in your thought life, what are we supposed to do? Cast it down and bringing it into subjection to the Word of God. And it's so important because we are surrounded with negative thoughts, negative things that are all around us in life. You can't do this. You'll never get this. It's impossible. Well, I seem to remember just off the top of my head right here, just two scriptures I'm thinking of when they say, oh no, it's not possible. I'm thinking of Philippians chapter 4. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I'm going to look at another one. I mean, you probably have a bunch yourself, but I'm just thinking of two. Mark 9:23 says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, when we start talking about faith, what did Jesus say? That wonderful scripture in Mark 11:22, 23, 24, he said, have the faith of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that you're saying shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. So we've been given a brand new heart, we're a brand new person. We have a new covenant. We have promises that are afforded us. We've been seated in heavenly places in Christ. So we have a place of authority, and the extent of that authority is what? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Glory to God. That ought to encourage us, because I have a place in Christ of dominion, in him. Glory to God. And now, when let's take a quick look at Colossians chapter 2. Just in case the devil tells you how big and bad he is, and how strong he is, and what he's going to do to you, and thoughts come, take a look at Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. See, this lines up with what we just got done reading. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he," what? "Quickened." See, this is what we just got done reading in Ephesians 2:1. See, this says here, "Hath he quickened," who? "Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way," doing what? "Nailing it to his cross." Verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it." So when the King James says spoiled, that means they were disarmed. You know, you take somebody's weapons away, what have they got? Nada. So he may say all he's going to do to you, but you remind him that he's been disarmed. He has no authority over you. You remind him, "I've been delivered from you. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. You have no authority over me. You have no authority over my mind, my body, my stuff, my family. You have no authority over me. Now pack up and leave." Right. Now this is the authority that we have, and God is expecting that we walk in it. See, remember what we just got done reading in Ephesians chapter 1. It was what? It was this. It says, "And he hath put all things," what? "Under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." It's for the benefit of the church. It wasn't for his benefit. It was for us to operate in his dominion and authority, in this new authority that we've been given to do what? Reach the lost. To deliver people out of bondage. To deliver people from the control of Satan. To use the name of Jesus. To lay hands on the sick, to do what? Cast out devils. That's what Jesus did. He conferred that authority. I think you can go over to Luke 10. He conferred that upon the 70 and said, "Go out and cast out devils, lay hands on the sick." So it's important to remember who we've become in Christ. Now, Colossians, we just got done reading that in verse 1. Look at verse 3, chapter 3, I mean, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read this from the New Living. It says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." So this dominion and authority is not age restrictive. It doesn't mean, well, you know, you might work into some kind of authority and dominion as you get older. It doesn't say that. It says you've been given dominion and authority over all the power of the devil. Whether you're 5 or 105? When you become aware of who you've become, you become dangerous to him, the devil, because revelation knowledge, it actually begins to affect your faith in him. So the more revelation, that's why it's important for us, and I'm going to read this excerpt here. I'm just going to read this here. This is a book that we sell in the bookstore. I don't know if we have any up here, but it's called The Authority of the Believer, and it's by John A. McMillan, M-A-C-M-I-L-L-I-A-N. He was actually a missionary overseas back in the early 1900s, and I think he went home to be with the Lord somewhere around 1940. But he actually was a teacher at NIAC, a Missionary Alliance, for many years. But this is an excerpt from his book, The Authority of the Believer. It's really profound. He had such great insight, and he talks about what we should be doing as far as our position of authority and how we should operate and walk in it. But this is what he said. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers potentially for the present of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne. Oh. So when we sit with him, we are made to share his throne. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. So we're partakers of his authority. And then it goes on. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension. See? To the degree of your apprehension, which is going to come through revelation. So you will not exercise this dominion, or you, let's say it another way, you will exercise it to the degree of the revelation which affects your apprehension. You'll begin to understand. And he said, and he's talking about spiritual apprehension. It says, to the extent of their spiritual apprehension, authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought upon the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. So we've been made to share his throne. We've been seated. What did it say in Ephesians? It says, when we were yet sinners, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So we have, it says, we've been made to sit with him, and that is to do what? To share his throne. And to share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. And we know that's scriptural because what does the Great Commission say in Mark 16? Jesus, before he left this earth, what did he say? He said, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow what? Them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What is that saying? I'm sharing. I'm doing the work. I'm continuing the work that Christ did here. He showed us by his example how he reached people, how he delivered people, how he healed people, how he saved people and forgave sin. And so now the body is here in the earth to continue that, and he's conferred that authority. We're sharing that authority because we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. And we need to understand that this dominion is not just to overcome the obstacles in our life, but it's to reach people. It's to reach the lost. It's to share the good news of the gospel that Jesus died for you, God loves you, and he's not holding the sin in your life against you. It's been forgiven. And so this dominant faith that we have comes through faith. I mean, when I say comes, the faith or the dominion that we have is in Christ, and it expands, or you could say grows, through faith cometh what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more we hear this, the more we meditate on it. That's why when I like that saying that I read by Brother Hagin, he said, thinking faith thoughts, or you could say thinking dominion thoughts, and speaking faith words, speaking dominion words. I'm not defeated, I'm an overcomer. I'm not sick, I'm the healed. I'm not the bound, I'm the delivered. He said, we'll lead the heart out of defeat and into victory. So the more we think about faith thoughts, the more we speak faith words, it will change. Revelation will continue to unfold, and you'll have a greater apprehension and comprehension of who you are. Or you could say a greater revelation of who you've become. And this is what got Peter into trouble when Jesus said, when Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. And he said, come. What got him into trouble? Reasoning, looking at the waves. He was already walking on water. He was already overcoming a natural thing. He was walking on water. You try to do that in your bathtub. But you can see here that Peter got his eyes and his thinking and reasoning off and started looking at things in the natural. And so the same thing goes for us. We've got to keep our thoughts on faith thoughts and speak faith words. As you're walking through obstacles in life, whether it's against you personally or against an area that you're in. Is everybody getting a little something out of this? Because I tell you, the more you think about it and the more you meditate on it, you will not tolerate things in your life. You say, no, I'm not tolerating that. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm an overcomer. And God is looking for a people that will walk in this kind of faith, dominant faith. He's looking for a people that will rise above and believe the word of God for what it says, and that we operate and walk in it. God's looking for that. And I didn't say this happens overnight. But you've got to, just like anything else, you've got, if you want to reach a certain goal, you've got to put a plan of action in place. In other words, I'm going to think on this, I'm going to talk this, I'm going to think this and talk this, and not be deterred or distracted from it. You know, just like any goal we have, we may have natural goals, this should be a spiritual goal. Glory to God. So I hope you got a little something out of that. It's stirring my heart, and I think all of us can look at areas in our life where we can make adjustments and grow. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is full of might and power. And we thank you for the spirit of might and power that's in us. We thank you that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're seated with you at the right hand of God. And we thank you that we are sharers of this throne, of your throne, and sharers of your authority. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, did you ever think about something? When you have been given authority, you don't have to work up some kind of feeling, do you? If you have been given authority, whether it's just in the natural, you don't go, I'm going to work up this authority. No, you're in charge. And when you say go, they go. When you say do this, they do this. It's the same thing on the spiritual side where God has conferred upon Jesus authority because of his obedience and dying for sin for mankind in the world. But we see here that that authority that's in Christ has been conferred upon us and we share it. So all one has to do is, what did it say in Acts? And that name and that person was healed by the name and faith in the name. So when we have faith in Christ and faith in the name, and we understand that we are sharers of the dominion and authority that Christ has, then I can walk with a different mindset, a different heart, not wondering, gee, is everything going to be all right? No, it is going to be all right, because I say so in Jesus' name. And you're not going through life wondering and hoping and, no, it's going to be this way because I said so. That's a different way of operating and thinking. That's exactly how what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. He said in 22, have the faith of God. And then what did he say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's an obstacle, be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. The things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have them. So it's going to be this way because I said so. And that's a different way to think and a different way to walk and a different way to operate. This isn't mind over matter. This is faith. Faith in God. Walking as a new person in Christ. Because the world... 2 Corinthians 4:4, what does it say? It says, the God of this world who's blinded the minds of them that are what? Lost. We're not lost. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. We can see because he enlightens our path. The entrance of his word gives light. So I'm not walking around in the dark, wondering what's going to happen or not happen. So for us, children of the light, we're not in darkness. We're not in darkness to God's will and his heart, right? We know what he thinks because we've got his word to tell us what he thinks. Glory to God. Glory to God. So make a decision. This year, I'm gonna those things that have been, you know, thoughts that you've had, change those thoughts. Keep feeding on spiritual things that I'm going to overcome in this area. I'm going to do better in this area. I'm going to walk in victory in this area. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word this day. Thank you that we're going to do better. We're going to walk higher. We're going to reach farther for you and walk in the dominion that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Praise God.